Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone. How are you doing? Welcome back to another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and I'm so glad you came back. We finished up our series last week, so if you came tuning in hoping to hear Dark Days 7, well, too bad. That was not going to happen. You have to listen to 1 through 6 if you want to hear the series. We're starting something new. Today, I'm just focusing on a topic. It's based on an experience that I had. And I think it's something that we share in common, and it gets at something that I hope is insightful and helpful today. Today, it's called The Guy Who Tried to Convert Me. The guy who tried to convert me. So have you ever received one of those posts on Facebook where the person is writing kind of a long post bemoaning the fact that nobody reads their posts, everybody just skims, the world is shallow, and people aren't really connecting, something like that, right? And then they ask you to just say one word, but it's not good enough for you to reply and say the one word about how you met or what's important or something significant, right? They want you to actually post the whole thing into their timeline as if the posting of the timeline is the significant thing. That's the part that makes it special. If you just reply with the word on how you met or you reply with the word or something, then they don't say it really counts. So there's always this call to action. You know what I'm talking about? Those kinds of annoying Facebook things. And I know how we can easily get sucked into them. They're linked to good fortune. They're linked to prayers coming true. All kinds of things. It's really interesting. Now, when I get these, there's always that point where I feel manipulated. It's kind of the bait and switch. Oh, okay, you're feeling sorry for yourself, or oh, you feel like you're nobody's reading your post, or oh, you really need some prayer. And so I'm in and I'm reading it, or it says nobody ever reads this, and if you're reading this far, well, then you're probably my real friend or whatever. But I feel manipulated. I always think that they're appealing to our herd mentality, you know, whenever they get to that appeal for a specific action. And, you know, I never do it. As a result, I never share any of those to my own timeline. Now, I'll let the person know that I read their post if there really is a sincere kind of attestation that, hey, I feel like no one reads my stuff or I would like some prayer. I always let them know that I read it and time in, but I never post it and I never forward those things. And I got to feeling like this is kind of like deeply religious people. Have you ever met deeply religious, really fundamental people? I had this experience where I met this guy recently, and we engaged in a brief dialogue, and I could tell he was using this tribal language that is, it's common in religion, you know, and I could kind of get a sense of where he was going. And I think because I was wearing my AC/DC Highway to Hell shirt, I think he assumed I was one of those people, whatever that is, right? I was on the other side of the fence from where he was. And I don't entirely remember his question. I remember he made a few comments that kind of just made me realize, okay, this guy is really partitioning the world into innies and outies, valid and invalids. And I don't really remember what he said, but I do remember how what he said made me feel. And it made me feel just like these Facebook ploys where I kind of feel manipulated. I kind of feel like you're kind of leading me into this thing, kind of bait and switch. And I kind of fell for it a little bit. So I go along. Usually in these kinds of situations, we're going to enter into a spiritual dialogue. And I enjoy spiritual dialogue. I do not like theological debates. I don't do those anymore, although I used to be a total debater. I love to engage in spiritual dialogue now, though. But I told him, I said, hey, I will pray for your situation. And he paused and he looked at me and he asked if I was a Christian. And I said, well, yes, but perhaps not in the common sense way. I mean, when you think of Christian, you know, with chrome fish on the back of the car, listening to K-Love, I'm not that guy. And usually they're trying to figure out if I am or not, right? So the conversation that we had immediately went into another direction. And he wanted to know if I believed the Bible. And I answered, well, you know, I've read it nearly 50 times and I've studied it in its original languages. So I must believe something about it. But do I believe every English word on every single page? No, I don't. And that's was an interesting kind of point in the conversation, because he was tenaciously holding to a very strict and very literal interpretation of the Bible. And even as a fellow Christian, he saw me as something other than him. Now, those with the fundamental mindset, they don't really know what to do with me. Now, I've traveled a very long road of faith. I have worked in churches, in church and parachurch ministry for over 25 years. I've literally seen it all. I've done it all. I've planted churches. I've pastored churches. I've been a youth pastor. I've served in every capacity. And I've done it all. And I have a lot of experience in that space. But I've never really turned it over completely to a full vocation. It's always been a part-time vocation at best, if not just a full volunteer engagement, which meant I had to stay gainfully employed in other ways and developing other crafts and other aspects. And so I have this scientific side of my life where I work employed in the biosciences in the field of cancer diagnostics. And so the fundamental mindsets, they don't quite know what to do with me because I'm way more conservative than they think I am, and I'm way more liberal than they assume that I am. And so I'm more of each side than they have originally assumed. And they kind of struggle to pin me down. So it'll go along like this, where we find a lot of agreement over certain things, like our commitment to the Bible, our belief in the church. And then all of a sudden, one interpretation of the scripture comes up and I challenge it, or I say, well, I think there's another way to look at that. And what do you think about this? Or are you inclusive of people with a homosexual lifestyle? Or what about people of other religions? Are they less thans? You know, so, you know, when they see that I'm inclusive and I'm not dogmatic, if they find out that I do not go to church every Sunday, I'm not part of some church delivery system on a regular basis, a lot of times they see me as deficient or lacking. But then if we start talking about the Bible and the interpretation, immediately they start to realize I know what I'm talking about. So it's kind of this interesting thing that happens. And I always kind of wonder how long until this person hates me. But, you know, I've been in it. I've seen it all. And a lot of them are very, very good to me. I've had so many good friends who have come along, who have been patient with me and took the time to figure out who I am and what I'm saying. And then there's others that they just immediately want to debate me, which is code for reject me or dismiss me or whatever. And that's the heart of the problem. You see, if it's a Facebook post or a religion, there's a moment where we're asking somebody to do something for us, right? And we become rigid. The Facebook post is rigid because it doesn't really qualify you as valid if you just reply with the word. You have to actually post it to your timeline or else it doesn't really count. And there's a rigidity there. And in religion, we know how rigidity works and there are claims of exclusivity that are found in every world religion. So It's the heart of the problem is this rigid, certain inflexibility. And that's the moment when we develop a plan for everybody else. And the world becomes us versus them. You see, once the lens of otherness takes us, unity is only possible if another person shares the distinctives that we possess or our own convictions. There isn't unity unless we see things exactly the same. Now, it's amazing to me. I overlap with most religious people in their thoughts and assumptions. At least 90% of what we believe would be concordant. It's the 10% that we differ. And that 10%, you'd be amazed at how many people would want to be divisive over that. But you see, otherness comes from binary thinking. It's duality. It's the either or. It's on or off. It's good or bad. It's right or wrong. It's valid or invalid. And that's the only two categories that some people have. And if you have only those two categories, you run the risk of being a fundamentalist. You can't escape it. That is the quagmire of fundamentalism, duality, binary thinking. Now, the cure is always humility. Humility, yeah. Something that seems so easy that is so not easy at all. You know, now while I'm not the guy who tried to convert me, I'm not other than him either. You see, I used to try and convert people just like him. I used to try and manipulate every conversation back around to whether or not a person has made a decision for Jesus. That's manipulative. That's me having an agenda for everybody. But you see, that's not humility. You see, I am not the guy who tried to convert me, but I'm not other than him. I'm not other than the skeptic either, because Lord knows I have my own doubts, and so do you. I'm not other than the fundamentalist, because there are certain things that I see as black and white, and I just struggle getting out of that binary system. I'm not other than the flunky, the malcontent, the dejected, the lost, the angry, the broken. I am all of those things. And while I may not be that now, I'm not other than them either. You see, I'm not other than the doubter. I'm not other than the devout. And neither are you. And this is power, because this is the path of humility. When you don't see yourself as other than, you see yourself as not other than. What you do is you open up your mind to ternary thinking. Ternary means three, which means it's both and or other thinking. It's not just either or, it's a third option, maybe a fourth option. It's both and. It can be both. So when you start seeing the world in both and other thinking, everything changes. Everything changes. You don't have to go out and try and convert people, because there really are only two kinds of people. There are people who have particular awareness. There are people who do not yet have that particular awareness. That's it. And if you share your awareness, that person gains the particular awareness, and you haven't lost yours. So in giving out of yourself, the world becomes better. And this is an amazing relationship with the truth, capital T truth. You see, in the end, we are all converts. And I know that that will clink on some of your thinking at first, but hear it out. Think over this for the next few days. We are all converts. We're incrementally converted to the truth via a lifelong process and many diverse experiences. And those processes and experiences can never be replicated exactly from person to person. There's no two of us who have the same experiences. And so our incremental conversion to the truth is unique. It's different. It's varied. And that's why we need each other. In fact, the truth is the only thing that transforms any of us. We have never learned anything until we came into incremental conformity to the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that once you have an aspect of the truth that you possess all truth. Not a single one of us possesses all the truth. And as a result, we are only partial believers in the truth on our very best day. And that should be something that helps us hold on to humility. It should be something that gives us the ability to open our hand to others and their very diverse experiences and their diverse perceptions, their diverse ideas. That should be okay. And we should warm our hands to that fire, for who knows, we could learn something from each and every person. You know, in fact, like I said, the truth is the only thing that transforms any of us, and only a pursuit of the truth can free us from binary thinking. And so, therefore, nothing is as spiritual as humility. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.